The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And if you didn't know what we're talking about by that, then you're behind too.
Then you don't care what we're talking about today.
This is the theme music to Stranger Things.
No, Netflix. I don't want to skip the intro. The song is amazing.
Right? Who does that? Like, it's the skip intro button on that thing. You're like, it's a minute of the most awesome music ever. No, I don't want to skip it. There's like two, like Black Mirror. Sure, you can skip that.
Although it's real super short. Yeah, there's no point.
But there's like a couple. Don't skip Batman the Animated Series.
Right.
You don't skip Stranger Things. You can probably skip Friends because you've heard it about a million times. But honestly, like, you know, you don't need to skip Stranger Things. But in the studio with us today, we have special guests today.
We do.
We have with us Chelsea Dwinell.
Hi.
We have Kevin Shoemaker.
Hello.
And Isaac Hines.
Hi, dear.
And
we are all super excited.
Yes.
Because on the 4th of July, Stranger Things 3 is released.
It is. And I believe we've talked about Stranger Things the first season before.
Right. Because we were behind, because yes. We didn't watch it until a couple weeks before season 2 came out.
Right. And so we haven't talked about season 2, so this is a good, we'll do both today. But I feel like this is to justify the fact that we're talking about season 1 all over again. This will fall under our on second viewing, on second thought, as we called it, where we'll watch something again and see if it changes our minds any.
And it did not.
Did not. All right.
Still awesome.
So I'll let you dive right in. Just go ahead and talk amongst ourselves.
So Kevin, you're really good at recapping. What's Stranger Things about for our audience that may not have watched it?
Well, it's basically if Stephen King's novels turned into a television show, and it's very good. How was that?
Yeah, so basically it's a town of Hawkins, Indiana in the 80s, and the weird sci-fi-y stuff that goes on there.
It's it without a antagonist character. Like in it you have Pennywise, who is a character.
Right.
So it's like it. You have kids who are in a small town who are being kind of tormented by a presence.
Right.
Whereas instead of like a malevolent character, is that right? Malevolent. Yeah, character that it's more of an environment that is kind of affecting everybody.
And both star Finn Wolfhard, so there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
That is very true.
Finn Wolfhard is in a lot of other things. Don't know.
And I've said this before, I'll say it again. I absolutely love Finn Wolfhard. I think he's an amazing young actor. And I love the fact that he could have been the exact same character in Stranger Things that he isn't it, but he is not. He is very different because they're both horror shows, and they both take place in the 80s, and he's fighting these, you know, supernatural beings. But his characters feel completely different. You know, Richie is completely different from Mike, and I think that really speaks to his talent. And I'm really excited to see what he does going forward when he grows up.
He's also very talented. Sorry.
You're good.
But he has a band, and he, mm-hmm. you know, like there's these weird videos he'll pop up in on YouTube where he's like making bad food with his friends and trying it. My brother was showing me them. I was just like, wow, this is a very, you know, diversely talented person.
Well, he's in music videos for famous people too.
So. Yeah, he was in Weezer's Africa video.
Oh wow.
And
so was it Take On Me?
I'm sorry, you're right, Take On Me. But still, this kid seems to be drawn to the 80s. Like, I feel like he was born in the wrong decade.
This is true. Especially because he's also in NSP. He was in the music video as young Dan Avedon, mm-hmm. the lead singer of NSP.
Yes. Which is an amazing band.
It's very true.
And, yeah. So, I mean, this cast is so talented. Like, Winona Ryder plays the mom. And in season one, her son, Will, goes missing. And that's kind of the main point of season one, is that they're trying to find this kid. Turns out he's been pulled into an alternate dimension called the Upside Down, which is a mirror reflection of ours, but super creepy. And
which is a much better thing than the movie Us.
Yes. Very. yeah. And what I find funny is that they mention that he was promoted, so the kid who plays Will was promoted from guest star to primary character in season two. I'm like, yeah, but he couldn't be in a lot of season one because he was missing. I mean, this was not because he did such a good job. He did, but it wasn't due to his own merits that he wasn't in more episodes.
No, but you do have one on that show that because of that, his merits.
Yes.
Ended up being now a full-time character, which I absolutely love Steve Harrington.
Oh, yeah.
He's so brilliant.
He's everybody's favorite. He was supposed to play the jerk boyfriend, but he's just way too sweet, and it comes through too much. Maybe he's a bad actor in that he can't cover up his sweetness enough. I don't know. But he's so fun to watch.
He was a total jerk in the first few episodes. Like you saw, I like the fact that he was a total jerk in the first few episodes. He seemed like the quintessential jerk boyfriend of every 80s movie that you see. And he had that. It was going for him. And they were just like, oh, we'll get rid of him. But they realized that he's so great that they want to keep him on. So they gave him a change of heart and they wrote it and they didn't just spring it on you. Like, it was a gradual change towards the end of the season that you're like, okay, he realizes what he's done wrong and he's going to make up for it. They made his character better. It didn't just come out of nowhere like, oh, he's great, let's just switch him for no reason. Yeah. It was a good gradual. And then in season two, he goes, you know, he's still boyfriend with Nancy, and we'll get into that more, but there was that thing going around on the internet that said, Stranger Things season one, Steve doesn't deserve Nancy. Stranger Things season two, Nancy doesn't deserve Steve.
And what is your prediction for season three?
Stranger Things season three, nobody deserves Steve except for Keanu Reeves.
That's fair, I suppose.
But anyway, getting back to what I was saying earlier, Winona Ryder plays Will's mom, and she goes crazy looking for her son, and she's so good. She's so convincing. I think this is my favorite thing I've ever seen Winona Ryder in. Like, she does such a good job as this mom who's barely holding on. And, you know, she believes that he's still out there. She thinks that she knows that he's communicating with her through Christmas lights. And no one believes her, and she doesn't care because she knows what's going on. And she's fascinating to watch. I really enjoy it.
I think saying it's the favorite thing is debatable. Like, it's definitely up there, but it's kind of difficult to get past, like, Mermaids and Edward Scissorhands. And,
oh, I like her better in this.
And even Beetlejuice, you know, stuff like that. Yeah.
I think that she's grown as an actress from those. I think those are very immature performances. And I think that this is what she was born to do, was to have those crazy eyes.
I can't see Winona Ryder without thinking of that Family Guy episode where it cuts to her being in, what is it, Dangerous Liaisons?
Most good.
It would be most good. Oh, this is terrible. Can we just throw in, like, some boob shots? Yeah, we can do that. Oh, really? Sweet. This movie's going. Here we go.
Yeah, the movie.
But, yeah, no, it's debatable whether this is absolutely her best. I think it's close. It's up there.
My favorite.
Okay.
I feel like it's her first, like, you know, probably not her first, but the first I've seen that wasn't gimmicky. Like, you know, I'm Winona Ryder sort of stuff. She's like a mom, and we haven't really seen that. So I would agree. It's probably my favorite, too.
Well, what's interesting is I don't think she's ever been in television before this, right? And from what I remember from some videos and interviews, she didn't even fully understand what streaming was
when she
was doing the whole filming. She didn't really understand what the process was.
She's like, is this
going to
be on Fox? What's going on?
Yeah, is this just like a mini series or what's going on? But shout out to Dave Harbour, who plays the sergeant detective.
Hopper.
He's a fantastic
chief, right?
Well, Dave Harbour is his real name. Chief Hopper.
Chief Hopper. What a fantastic actor! It's kind of surprising. He has been in a few movies as, you know, some mostly small roles prior. But he had a great turn in this, and I definitely think it's launched his career, you know, as evidenced by the fact that he's now Hellboy. Doing Hellboy and stuff like that.
Well, and I will say, too, because, like, I feel like he got, he got overshadowed in season one. He's a great actor, but like you said, Winona Ryder and her acting was amazing. But when we talk about season two, he stepped so far out of the shadows for me that I was like, this man is amazing. I want to watch everything he does. Mm-hmm. He was so brilliant.
And his character has got a lot of really interesting backstory. So he's the chief of this small town that hasn't really seen much. And then all of a sudden he's dealing with these really supernatural forces. And he just goes in. Like, he doesn't even give it a second thought. As soon as he sees something and he's like, okay, you know, there's an alternate dimension in the basement of this lab. All right, let's go in there and let's find out what's going on. And you learn throughout the first season that he had a young daughter who had died, and so he kind of becomes the surrogate father to Eleven, who is this girl with telekinetic powers, and she's kind of the savior of the series because she just, you know, looks at things and puts her hands out and her nose bleeds and she does crazy things with her mind. But she's a lost child because she was raised in this laboratory. She was taken away from her mother at a very young age. So he nurtures her. He protects her. And he's not a perfect dad. And I think that's really endearing that he makes mistakes and then he feels terrible about them. And their relationship is really fun to watch throughout the especially the second season, because that's where it really grows.
So who else is with me when you know, David Harbour first appearance on the show? You see him. I got a strong, like, I thought he was going to be the bad guy just from his initial, just his right when they introduced him right at the beginning. He's got this like dirty like presence about his house because you don't know why, and it gave me a very Wild Bill feel from Silence of the Lambs. Like the way he's like, slapping his face and shaving and washing and everything. It was just, you know, he's got the cigarette. He's got this like glare at himself in the mirror. And I was just like, this feels very Wild Bill from.
Do we see Dr. Brenner before him? Because the moment that we see Dr. Brenner, who is probably the actual antagonist of the first
Matthew
season,
Modine.
That was like the second I looked at him, I'm like, oh. Wow. Yeah. No. That's. Absolutely
oh yeah. No. He doesn't show up first. Okay. I'm pretty sure it goes. It starts off with them playing Dungeons and Dragons in their basement, and Will gets abducted. Intro music, and then I'm pretty sure it starts off with Hopper.
Yeah, because we don't see Eleven until the very end of the first episode, and I don't think we see Matthew Modine's character until after we've already been introduced to Eleven.
Mm.
I believe.
We see Eleven. I just watched it last night. Mm-hmm. So we see Eleven right about in the middle because she goes to the restaurant.
Yeah.
And so we kind of have an idea that something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we realize what it is until the end of the episode when we see Matthew Modine.
Well, the episode starts with the lab going crazy. So do we not see him?
Oh, yeah. We don't see him. We only see the guy in the elevator.
Okay.
The nameless guy who I still couldn't tell you who it is. The exposition death guy.
Oh, yeah. He's totally exposition death. He doesn't have a name.
Expedition death.
Lab coat number one.
He might as well have just been wearing a red shirt.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, just done. But, yeah. So, yeah. And... So, aside from exposition death guy, like, the show starts off with the four lead character boys playing Dungeons and Dragons. So you have Mike Finn Wolfhard, and then you have Lucas, who is
Caleb McLaughlin.
Yeah, and who, by the way, my favorite of the four. Like, you all can have your favorite. Lucas, in my opinion, is the most level-headed, most just like between both seasons, he is the voice of reason amongst all four of them.
Which is funny because he was totally the goofball on set.
Yeah, but his character is definitively the voice of reason for everybody, because Mike is kind of swayed by the fact that he has feelings for Eleven. You have Dustin, who is the goofball of the group, in my opinion.
He's so adorable.
Dustin. And then Will, season one
and
is just gone. And then, you know, yeah.
He's the Frodo.
Poor Will.
So out of the three of them that are there and able to do stuff, Lucas is the voice of reason.
I think the thing I'm most looking forward to in season three is that Will Byers is maybe actually going to stick around. and, like, mm-hmm. be in more than, say, three episodes.
They promised. They promised us that they would leave him alone this season. That was the promise that they posted a couple months ago.
Yeah, because in season one, he's missing for most of the episode. And you see him every once in a while, but not very often at all. And then in season two, he's kind of possessed by this being that is from the other dimension. Mm-hmm. And so he's in all the episodes. He just acts really strange, and then he... you know, they have to have they have to extract the virus of this bad guy.
It makes it really hard for you to care about his character more than everyone else.
Yeah.
And like, I really hope he loses his Starburst berries and cream haircut.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
If the ending of season two is any indication, where we've got Dustin with that amazing... styled curly Q hair.
That was a skyscraper on his head, and it could not have been any better.
Yes, amazing.
I mean, I feel like they were really going for a Flock of Seagulls look, and that's as close as they could get with what he had. Mm-hmm. But it's still adorable.
I also feel that the characters themselves, like those three boys, we have to exclude Will, but those three boys, they all felt very real. Like, everything that they did felt like it was in the realm of their capabilities as children in this town with all this weird stuff happening. Because I think, like, in a lot of stories, they fall into the pit of, okay, these are our lead characters, so we have to have them be able to do extraordinary things. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's always the smarter kid who just knows everything, you know, who can crack codes like a nobody's business or something. Like, I felt like every kid had the exact real amount of ability for the situation.
Yeah, they're all D&D nerds.
Yeah.
And that's what they needed, because this whole show is pretty much a, hey, what if Dungeons & Dragons was real?
Mm-hmm. Then you get Riverdale.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hold on now.
No.
Don't you start talking about that show here, mister.
I'm just saying.
But they do. They take a lot. They use Dungeons & Dragons as an analogy for what's happening with them. That's how they explain it to themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, the main manifestation of the bad guy in the first movie is they call the Demogorgon.
Yes.
And that's a Dungeons & Dragons thing, right?
Yes. Prior to that, it's like a Greek mythological thing. But D&D is always stolen from mythologies. But
right. Yeah, but that's why they call it that, because... Yes. They equate it to their Dungeons and Dragons, and they refer to themselves as the party, and it's their D&D party, and they all have their different roles, and so what they do in real life reflects what they do in the basement of Mike's parents' house.
So, oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I love how they change almost that dynamic in season two as well, because they have new party members that come in, and seeing how you react and change, and that's their, I guess, analogy for how people kind of are in group situations, which I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and none of the kids are cooler than they need to be. That's another thing. Like, none of them are like, this kid's way too cool or too old. There's always, like,
No, it's casted very well.
Yeah, like, it's not older teenager, or not older 20-somethings playing older teenagers.
It's not Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man in high school.
Exactly. Yes, that, exactly.
Don't get me wrong, I love Tobey Maguire, and I love the first Spider-Man film, but...
He's no, got no, a there's, soft face.
No, it's a very...
You cannot sell me on that.
It doesn't... Yeah, but that right there, the original Beverly Hills 90210, stuff like that. It's older people in their 20s, the OC, playing teenagers. And this one's not it. These are kids, they're the age that they are. And I believe the whole thing. And what's also great about it is that it takes place in... The first one takes place in November to December of 83. The second one takes place right around Halloween of 84, and this new third season is going to be during July of 85. So, because it's during the summer. And so they all take place. So far out of the two seasons, I very much believed that I was watching this in the year that it was supposedly taking place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do a really good job of doing clothing them 80s, of hairstyles 80s, and... all of their cars and their sets. It's very good. It's no Dark Phoenix where you can't tell what decade this is supposed to take place.
It's also not overdone. It's peppered.
There's nothing quite anachronistic about it, you know, and especially the soundtrack, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Especially in season two for the the snowball that they go to at the end. Amazing, amazing choices for songs.
Those were all, and the choices that they made were all accurate because it takes place in November,
December.
Yeah, December of 84. And they used Time After Time from Cyndi Lauper, which came out in 84. They used Every Breath You Take from The Police, which was came out in 83, which was number one wedding song of 1983, by the way.
Which is weird. Yeah. People don't listen to the song.
So yeah, no, they do pretty well.
Oh, this one's pretty. Let's use this. No.
I do like that they use that song for its very malevolent undertone.
Yes.
Especially for that final shot in season two.
Yes.
Astounding.
Yes. All right, so let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll just talk about more. So you are listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we're in studio with Kevin Shoemaker, Chelsea Dwinell, and Isaac Hines. And we will be right back.
Join us Thursday, July 4th, Independence Day, for Dine and Donate, an Elements Lounge inside Wind River Resort and Casino. Now, all you have to do is go in and have dinner at Elements on July 4th, and 10% of all dinner proceeds will go to Haven Humane. Plus, you'll get $5 in free slot play. Hashtag proud to play your part on July 4th. It's Dine and Donate at the Wind River Resort and Casino. Join us then.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we are talking Stranger Things in a full studio with Kevin Shoemaker, Chelsea Dwinell, and Isaac Hines. And, yeah, so we've been talking Stranger Things. And we're not really, like, following, like, episode to episode. Like,
yeah.
Basically, season one is quite intense because it's definitely just fun and you want to know where things are going. You don't know. Where I feel like the mystery of season one unraveled at a very steady pace and gave you what you wanted without getting boring. Where season two, you were already fully invested. And I felt that they did a really good job of giving you a story that you didn't have to get a lot of prior exposition on either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they went with it. And, you know, we're talking about, so this show takes place in the 80s, as we said. And I love all their 80s references, even not just the blatant ones. Like in season two, Sean Astin is on this season, and he's one of my favorite characters. He plays Bob, and I love Bob. And Bob is Will's mom's new boyfriend. And he's just the ultimate dad. Like, he makes dad jokes. He's always, you know, he's always chuckling about something. He's just a jovial guy, and I love him so much.
He works at the Radio Shack.
But there's a great scene where so Will has been drawing these crazy-looking drawings that turns out to be a map. And so they're all over the house. I mean, the house is covered in these drawings. And she brings Bob in because he's a puzzler. He likes to do puzzles and brain teasers and stuff. And she doesn't want to tell him what it's about, but he needs to help her solve it. And we need to find this spot here. And it has an X. And he's like, oh, X. Oh, is it a treasure map? Ha, ha, ha.
We're going to find pirate treasure?
We're going to find pirate treasure, which is obviously a reference to Goonies, which he was in.
Yep.
And it's just so much fun. And yes. And he tells a story about when he was a young boy growing up in Maine, that he encountered a clown, and then he had nightmares about the clown, and then finally once in his dreams he stood up to the clown and it went away, which is an allusion to Stephen King, who's all of his stories take place in Maine, and obviously another draw to It, because it was an evil clown, and when you think evil clowns, you think It. And so I just love those little things that they throw in there. They're mm-hmm. just so fun.
Oh, yeah. The allusions that they make are constant all throughout the entire series. There's lots of little things that they connect from place to place. I think there's I'm pretty sure there's a reference in season one, like I think maybe even episode one, when we're introduced to Hopper and he's talking about that there was some lady who was getting attacked by an owl. I think the woman whose last name, I don't remember what it exactly was, but I'm pretty sure it's a direct correlation to a character in one of Stephen King's novels.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the exact connection, but they just keep lacing these tiny little nuggets to people who are big fans to just fall into.
Yeah. So season three is going to bring on a very exciting guest star, which is Cary Elwes. And I swear, if he says "as you wish," I'm going to lose it.
Well, Bob never talked about any rings, so.
No,
but the 80s.
But the pirate treasure was definitely
that. Yeah.
Yeah. So yes. Good. I think Dwinelle. Yeah. Good point. That when he says pirate treasure, that's a reference to an 80s movie that he was in. So I think Cary Elwes saying, you know, "as you wish" would be a reference to an 80s movie he was in, as opposed to not mentioning a ring, which is, you know, 2000.
I mean, however, that it wouldn't have been outside the realm of possibility, because it was also established that the boys are Lord of the Rings fans. So that would have been fine.
I also think it would be appropriate if in his introductory shot he's working on a jigsaw puzzle.
Ha ha ha.
Ha ha.
I love it if they danced around "as you wish," like he does like an altered version, like "if that's what you want."
He just says every other version except "as you wish."
Amazing. Well, he's playing Hawkins' mayor, so you know he's gonna have to, you know, have his political correctness, so he's gonna wanna try to please people. So
I just want Steve to offer him like a coupon for a free ice cream cone, and he's like, "My whole town is surrounded by demigorgons. You expect a coupon for ice cream to make me happy?"
Would it be peanut butter cup?
Oh,
there you go.
Get out. Leave the studio.
Be gone. I will continue.
So we've seen in the trailer that Steve works at Scoops Ahoy, which is an ice cream store in the mall. So a lot of this season's going to take place in the mall, which, how 80s is that? That's amazing. I'm so excited. But Baskin-Robbins has started this huge publicity campaign to where they're actually changing a lot of their storefronts to Scoops Ahoy in honor of the season three coming out. When you go into there, they have Stranger Things themed ice cream flavors. they have boxes that have the Scoops Ahoy presented by Baskin-Robbins, and it's just, like, it's so much fun. And I know it's just a corporate cash grab. I don't care. It's still a lot of fun that they're able to incorporate it like that.
So, Baskin-Robbins, if you're hearing this, we have given you quite a few plugs right now, yes. And we will accept that. We will accept free swag and or ice cream from you, even absolutely. If you're watching, even if you're hearing this years later. I'm sure the email will be the same. Just send me some coupons.
We will take that ice cream.
We will take that ice cream.
Eggos too. We have to give a shout out to Eggo waffles.
Oh, we're just gonna be loaded with free stuff, aren't we?
Because they are Eleven's favorite food. When did she first have them? Was it? Oh, was it Mike's house? His mm-hmm. his family made
her waffles.
It's like
one of the first
waffles.
Things he feeds her, yeah.
He feeds her, yeah. And so when she runs away, she goes to a grocery store, and she sees the Eggos, and she just takes them out of the freezer, walks out of the store, and then she starts eating them frozen. So, like, no, you got to heat them up.
I feel like we've kind of glossed over the main portions of what the story is. Like, we mentioned all these people. But, like, Stranger Things, like, we said that it's about, you know, the town has weird things. But at the heart of the town is this... What is this? It's this lab, Hawkins
it's an energy
lab. Yeah, and it's government, of course.
Of course.
It's Hawkins' lab, and they're the ones that are kind of bridging between the two dimensions with some sort of weird experiment they did. And the main guy, played by Matthew Modine, another 80s icon, plays the, like, lead scientist guy who experimented with people in the 60s using LSD and all these other type of psychotropic drugs. And then they had babies, which then had psychic powers, and thus they have Eleven. And Eleven is then able to bridge the gap between communicating between the Upside Down and our world. And so she's kind of raised in this lab, and she escapes the lab, and that's how she meets all the main characters, mm-hmm. and that's why she's so important.
Right.
Yeah. And she has all these psychic powers like telepathy and telekinesis and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the creature that gets summoned into Hawkins that causes all the problems and takes Will Byers and causes the events was only contacted because Eleven was pushed into psychically reaching out because I guess they were trying to make like a psychic spy or a psychic soldier program. And in the process of doing that telepathic communication, it seemed like she tapped into some alternate dimension where this beast existed. And when it became aware of her presence, it was like, oh, food, I'm going to go get you. Ha-ha. And so it came into the world of Hawkins, Indiana, and just started wreaking havoc. And it's definitely an interesting take on that premise.
But it lives in Hawkins, Indiana, just the Upside Down version, right?
Yes. That definitely does seem to be the case. And that's where it, you know, roosts and feeds and does whatever the Demogorgon does.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that so in this alternate dimension, that seems to be the best way to describe it, but it's a mirror image of Hawkins, but not of everything. Like, there's no people there. It's not like they have us type doubles, since you brought it up.
I know it's true.
There's no people. It's just a dreary, drippy version of the landscape, pretty much.
It's toxic Rickland.
Yes, exactly. It's toxic Hawkins.
I heard a theory that and I don't know if I'm persuaded by it, a theory that it's like far, far, far future Hawkins, Indiana that they've tapped into. I don't know. I mean, there's no proving that, but it's an interesting thought that is way, way, way far into the future.
Mm. But
and it looks like a giant snow globe. All over the place.
Like after a maybe the stuff in the air is ash from a nuclear holocaust,
from fallout,
maybe alien invasion.
The problem is that everything in this future world still has only the stuff from the 80s that they're in.
True.
It's an exact mirrored image. Like, so in the future, like, the arcade is still there as an arcade. The school is still exactly the way it is in that current time. So
humans stop all advancement at that point in the 80s. They're like, we nailed it, we can stop.
So we've progressed exactly as far as we need to.
So
we made the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or whatever, whatever thing we made right now. Dragon Quest.
Well, it almost makes me think that it's a universe where these scientific guys created these Demigorgons, and what we come later in season two to find out is the Demidogs. And it makes me think that we've been wiped out in the 80s. Like, that was what I kind of took from it when I watched it. So.
I wonder if we'll get an explanation. Because the Duffer brothers, who are the ones who created it, have said that it's a four-season show. So we're going to get one more season after this, and then that's all they've mapped out. So I'm wondering if we'll get a closed story, if we'll get a satisfying ending.
My hope
after that.
My real hope is that they just kind of follow the It format, and then they go to the future, and we get current adult versions of all the kids now, and just so you can keep the characters like get flat. The last season is kind of a bounce back between a flashback and a current time. Mm-hmm. That way we get to see kind of a closure now.
We can have a Bill Hader as Finn Wolfhard. We are now.
That's exactly what I said two nights ago was we're watching it.
But you know what's awesome, too, is that we could just wait a couple years and these kids could reprise their roles.
That's true.
Because they're like the teenage. So these kids are about, what, 12, 13?
When they start.
They should be. The characters.
Now they're probably about 14, 15.
Yeah. And the older teenagers, so the older siblings, they're in their 20s, the actors are in their 20s. But the kid, like, 11 was a, Millie Bobby Brown was 11 when they started filming these.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as they, you know, they get older, Netflix can actually bring this back, and they can play themselves again.
Mm.
That's the kind of the beauty of this kind of, the streaming thing that we have is that they can hold on to it for a couple of years.
Hey, if they can bring back Lois and Clark this many years later, they can do that with Stranger Things.
True. There's always hope.
It's not actually happening, but Dean Cain has Chelsea Dwinell looked at me like I'm crazy. Dean Cain has said that he's working on ideas to bring it back to give at least a final season, like kind of a catch-up now type of thing. And he wants to bring it back at least for a season.
For anyone who watched that show, which I was absolutely one of them, the last episode ended with them getting this baby on their doorstep. And then that was it. That was the end of the series. And so Dean Cain, who plays Superman, also wrote some of the episodes. And so he's like, yeah, I have an idea. Some we can bring back. So that'd be fun.
So he's in the process of working.
It is almost unwatchable, I might say. While it aired, it was amazing.
Okay, taking a complete detour. I've been watching TV because I took a couple days off. I just laid in bed, watched TV. I watched an episode of Lois and Clark. I watched the Christmas episode with Mr. McJespitlick, played by Howie Mandel. Not terrible.
Okay, because I've tried to rewatch it, and I can't. I loved it when it aired, but I can't rewatch it anymore.
All right, it's time to take a break.
Okay.
We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll discuss more Stranger Things. So you are listening to We're a Little Behind. We'll be right back.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Sudhalter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Mary Ann, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea after looking at some other options. When she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
And now back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And in studio we have... Speak.
Chelsea. Donnell.
Isaac. Hines.
And Kevin.
Yay!
All right.
So we're talking about Stranger Things.
Sure.
And we're getting really excited because we're going to wake up early on the 4th of July, which is when it gets released on Netflix. And we're going to make a whole bunch of Eggos. And we're going to watch. We're having a big viewing party at our house. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we are.
We are going to binge that hard.
So what is it that... So his name's Gatton?
Gatton. Mm-hmm.
Gatton Matarazzo.
Oh, you're going to make me say it. Can you say it?
Gatton Matarazzo.
No. What his affliction is.
Oh, something cronocranial dysplasia or something like that? It's something very similar to that. I don't actually remember it, but it's somewhat similar. But the character of Dustin, who he plays in both of the seasons, was originally not written with any sort of, you know, impediment or any sort of issue. But when he was cast for the role, they loved his performance so much, they actually wrote in his, cleidocranial dysplasia.
There you go. So you're really close. Good job.
So you might have heard Kevin's microphone and audio dip just a bit. That's because that was Jen passing her phone over to Kevin to read what was on there.
It's okay.
A lot of consonants.
I'm pretty sure. I think I'm the... If I remember correctly, I was the only one in the biology class that I took in high school who was able to say deoxyribonucleic acid on the first try.
There you go.
So, there it is.
I wasn't able to hear that.
Now, you know what, Kevin? I'm going to give you your moment. You have the thing that you wanted, that you said during our sound check, where we always check the levels of the microphones, make sure we sound good before the show. We all did a sound check, and so there is a game that we all play called Betrayal on Hill House, or
the original game is called Betrayal at House on the Hill.
Okay,
which is somewhat fitting because Stranger Things is an 80s horror themed content show.
Sure, sure.
And the board game that we're talking about is similarly themed, except it's sort of a mashup of every single horror, you know, B horror movie you've ever thought of.
Yeah. So,
and then they made a sort of sequel of sorts called Betrayal Legacy, which is a bigger, complicated thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we played it recently.
And there's a card in there that if you can say this thing, then you'll be fine. But if you can't, then you have to take a lot of damage to your character.
Yeah.
And Kevin is the only one, because it's from Lovecraft. Yeah, so like Cthulhu and all that.
Yes.
But there's a name, and he can say it. And I'm going to give him his time. This is Spotlight Kevin.
It's not so much a name as it's a chant of sorts in the elder speech. And the whole point of it is that it's not supposed to be pronounceable.
Sure.
Because it's supposed to be this speech that drives you completely insane.
But our Kevin said, challenge accepted.
Fortunately, I heard it in a song, in a parody song, and it's always stuck with me because I challenged myself to figure out how to say it. But it's a Fingui Magleanoff Cthulhu Relay Wagnog Fatagan.
which is the, yeah. the weird sort of bizarre elder chant that they do.
I'm feeling a little crazy.
So, one more time.
Fingui Maguinoff Cthulhu Relay Wagnog Fatagan.
It sounds like it would. It sounds like it would be my name in the Lord of the, in the Lord of the Rings language.
Oh goodness gracious, no. Well, those names don't get that complicated.
You've heard my full name.
Yeah, once or twice.
Yeah. So, and then whatever language is in Lord of the Rings, it's not Elfish, like.
Well, there's like there's 15 several. Of them.
Okay,
so.
whatever the more complicated one, thus my name. Okay, so
Beach.
Yes, so I gave so everyone applaud Kevin, yay!
Hooray!
Yes,
thank you.
And so yeah, and so he has so back to that kid,
Gaten Matarazzo.
Sure, he has that affliction, and they worked it into the show.
Yes,
he has no front teeth, and it's adorable.
In the first season, yeah.
Yeah, but then they grew because. They do grow. Because
he got them, too. Mm-hmm.
But then the way they, like, address it, he's just the cutest thing ever.
He's so proud of his cute little teeth and his cute little curls. He's just the cutest little thing ever.
He is absolutely adorable and really genuinely funny. Mm-hmm. I watched some videos. He definitely seems, I think, maybe to be the most active participant in, like, interviews and just content in general. Because I watched so many more videos of him doing, like, weird, wacky things on various internet shows or whatever.
Well, he's in trouble for one of the shows that they were going to do.
Is he?
Yeah, so Netflix, he had a show where he was going to be a producer on a show, this prank show, kind of like Punked or the Jamie X, you know, experiment. And a lot of people petitioned him to not have it go through because what it was is it was going to have people show up on their first day of work, and it turns out it's just a prank. They're being pranked on this first day, so they don't actually have a real job. And they're like, that's
oh,
really
that's me.
Yeah. So,
especially in today's economy.
Yeah. So,
terrible.
That's the reason why the show itself is in trouble, and they're probably not going to do that.
Yeah, that's a little.
Goodness.
But so that brings us into bad things of Stranger Things. Mostly everything on the show is amazing and wonderful and good. However, there is a definitive thing that is not great, and Dwinelle is already shaking her head yes. We all know what it's going to be. It's the fact that in season two, there is it episode, because there's nine episodes.
It's episode eight.
There's nine episodes. It's episode eight. It serves almost, it serves about 2% purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely unnecessary because episode nine picks up immediately where episode seven left off. So you have episode eight, which feels like, one, it's a completely separate story, and two, like it's a backdoor pilot.
For purposes of explanation, the more or less plot of season two is that Will Byers, having been saved in season one, has come back, but things are different for him now. He sees things, he has visions, and he seems to keep sort of either experiencing or actually teleporting back into the Upside Down. And he definitely seems to be afflicted by this, and there's even a point where it seems as if one of the creatures of the Upside Down has sort of possessed him or taken control of him. And basically, things are escalating because the Upside Down is starting to creep back into Hawkins, Indiana, because the lab where the portal to the Upside Down that was originally made, they haven't been able to close it. They haven't been able to shut it off. They've been trying to seal the portal so that nothing can come back into this world, and they haven't been able to do so. The series keeps escalating, and conflicts keep arising, and eventually Eleven, having discovered that she might not be the only child who has powers and is capable of doing the things that she does, goes out to try to find others who were experimented on.
And it ends, it's pretty much just a really annoying episode that feels completely out of place and unnecessary.
Yeah, so she finds her sister, who was at the lab with her, and this sister person has been out in the quote-unquote real world longer and kind of shows Eleven how to hone her powers, and the group she's with is, it's like a misfit group, and they like to do crime, and Eleven's like, yeah, I'm not all about this, I'm gonna bounce. But the whole episode is her following with these kids that, so actually this is the very beginning of season two, as we see her sister, having a getaway from a crime, and then it goes back to Hawkins, and for, you know, seven episodes, you're like, what was that opening about? That was weird. But you saw that this girl has the same tattoo as 11, which is where she gets her name, because she has the number 11 tattooed on her arm. And so this person's number 3 or...
8,
that's right. And so you know that she's tied in there somewhere. And then, so in episode 8, 11 is with her, and I when we did our rewatch, I'm like, let's skip it. It's late. I don't want to watch this episode. And season 1 had 8 episodes. Season 3 has 8 episodes. But season 2 has 9 because we have this really weird extra episode.
Well, like I said, I feel like it's just a backdoor pilot. Like they're going to do like Stranger Kids or something.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take a break because we're running out of time. So we will be right back. You are listening to We're a Little Behind.
BNT Satellite is offering to our 55-plus a special deal. Find out the two exclusive offers that they have at BNT Satellite. Call 241-3474. 241-DISH.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know. Nationally, and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
SSD Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SSD Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Learning is fun at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. for Little Explorers, a hands-on learning program for children ages 2 to 5. Stories, crafts, and so much more. There's a new theme every month. Looking for something fun to do on the weekend? In addition to ongoing exhibits, Turtle Bay offers family and science programs every second and third Saturday each month, included with admission and always free for members. Don't miss out. Visit turtlebay.org for more information.
I want you to want me.
Get ready for a musical institution. Cheap Trick Live. Saturday, July 6th, 7:30, Reading Civic Auditorium. An unbelievable night filled with all the hits. Cheap Trick. 40 years, and the legacy continues. Cheap Trick in an unforgettable performance. Saturday, July 6th, 7:30, Reading Civic Auditorium. Tickets on sale now at ReadingCivic.com, the Reading Civic box office, or by calling 530-229-0022.
BNT Satellite is offering military and first responders two exclusive new offers to show their appreciation for their service. Call 241-3474, 241-DISH, and find out more from BNT Satellite.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we have about less than 2 minutes, about a minute and a half.
Well, I just like to say that, you know, I would strongly recommend people to watch this show because the show is amazing. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think speaks most about it is that Chelsea here likes it, and you don't like horror movies.
Oh, I can't stand horror movies.
And so when I found out that you liked Stranger Things, that made me very excited. And that just shows how well done it is, that even if you don't like the horror genre, this is a fun show to watch.
But it's not really a horror show. Like, I feel like it's more of a sci-fi show.
It has the trappings of horror, sure, in that there are monsters and there are things that happen and a lot of foreboding elements. But it's definitely an approachable show. It has more going on than just any one thing. It's funny. It's got great kid actors. It's got great adult actors. It's got things for pretty much everyone.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's it. That's the end of our show.
All right.
So thank you, Chelsea Dwinnell.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having
thank
me.
Thank you, Isaac Hines.
Of course.
Thank you, Kevin Shoemaker.
You're welcome.
And I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And you have been listening to We're a Little Behind.
Good night.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.